and the whole branch of the Lord. The only call is the Lord.
If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though of wise olive, should have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. You will say that branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in.
They were broken off. You stand like
for if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either.
Consider therefore honest and solemn, to know the good will, provided every time you also will be
covered. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
After all, if you have not had the knowledge to receive what my friends are doing, I can be sure that you are not fair to the Lord.
How much more of a
chicken is the natural brain of your gravity on our chicken?
Amen. God bless you with the word of God. As you know, Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, three chapters as one unit is on the vindication of God's righteousness through Israel's full story, Israel's past election, present rejection, and future restoration. Anyway, these three chapters, 9, 10, 11, is full of the story of Israel. Each chapter, chapter 9, 10, 11, each chapter starts with a great concern about Israel. For example, chapter 9 starts, I speak the truth, I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I had great sorrow and unceasing anguish. For what? I had great sorrow and unceasing, non-stop anguish in my heart. For what? For the salvation of Israel. For the salvation of Israel, my God. And chapter 10 starts like this. My heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israelites is that they may be saved. And chapter 11 starts. Did God reject His people in Israel? No, by no means. I, Paul, I am an Israelite myself. Are you saved?
Amen.
Jesus says, blessed is the one who Christ, He will not. What does this mean? Yes, if you have joy in your heart because of your salvation, you must have great sorrow for the salvation of others. If you have peace in your mind because of your salvation, you must have great pain for the salvation of others. If you laugh, if you smile because of your salvation, you must cry, you must weep for the salvation of others. And your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your children, your friends, your neighbors, For whom do you cry? Last Sunday we saw two proofs for the resurrection, for the restoration of Israel. We saw last Sunday, at least in this chapter 11, Paul shows how many? Five proofs that God is not finished with Israel. Last Sunday we saw two proofs. First proof, do you remember? Paul himself. First, Paul used his own conversion, salvation experience as an illustration of how Israel will be restored in the future. Second proof, Elijah. As we know, Elijah lived in the worst year in Israel history, in the time of a very bad king. Then Elijah appealed to God against Israel. Lord God, I'm the only one left. Even they are trying to kill me. Then God answered to him, No. I have rejoined only 7,000 who belong to me, who are very, very faithful to me, who do not kneel down before me. What does this mean? Throughout human history, throughout the history of Israel, there was never a time, there was never would be a time when the whole nation was true, faithful to God. Also at the same time, vice versa. Also at the same time, there was never a time when the whole nation was against unfaithful to God. This means all the time in human history, in each country, in each church, all the time there is a remnant. Who is or are very faithful before God. Today, this morning, let us see another two proofs. Number three, Gentiles himself. Gentiles himself. Yes, in the eyes of Israel, we are Gentiles. But in Christ, we are no more Jews, no more Gentiles. In Christ. Let us read from verse 11 to 16. From verse 11 to 15. Again, I ask, if there is somebody so as to fall beyond the recovery, not at all, rather because of their transgression, there is Jewish people, their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles, to make Israel envious, jealous, holy jealous. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness be? I am talking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people, Israelites, to envy and save some of them. Verse 15. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be? What is except life from the dead? Look in chapter 2, same book. In Romans chapter 2, from verse 1 to 3, Paul used the Gentiles to prove the Jews' guilty of sin. Do you remember? Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, Paul says, You, Jews, you have no excuse. You who pass judgment on others, Gentiles. Why? Because you are doing the same things. So now here, at this moment, again, Paul is using the Gentiles to assure Jews future restoration. So here his logic is very beautiful. Yes, when the Jews rejected the gospel, God sent this gospel to the Gentiles, and they accepted, they believed, and they were saved. So, at least three changes happened for the Jews. The nation fell. In verse 11, you can see the nation Israel fell down. And in verse 12, the nation Israel lost, diminished. And verse 15, the nation Israel fell. What happened to them? Verse 15, rejected. As a result, the Israel rejected and lost and fell down. But none of these three words suggest a final judgment on Israel. The amazing thing is that through Israel's fall, salvation came to the Gentiles. Already in the Old Testament, God promised the Gentiles would be saved. For example, Hosea 2:23 says, God says himself directly, I will show my love to the one I call, not my loved one. Also, I will call those called, not my people. I call them, you are my people. Also, they will call me, you are my God. God kept his promise to the Gentiles. Then will God also not keep his promise to the Jews? Yes, of course, he will. But it is very important to understand that the Old Testament promises to the Gentiles were linked, connected to Israel's rise. For example, in the Old Testament, prophecies like Isaiah chapter 11 or Isaiah chapter 60 make it clear that the Gentiles will share in the life of Israel, will share in the kingdom of Israel. Then Israel did not rise. Israel fell down. And what would God then do with the Gentiles? God introduced a new factor. You know this new factor? That is church. That is church. Then this church is called mystery. In Ephesians chapter 3, this new program is called the mystery, meaning holy secret. This was not revealed in the Old Testament. But this does not mean God has abandoned his kingdom project for Israel. Israel is merely only set apart until the time comes when God's program, God's plan for Israel will be fulfilled. Now, today, the Gentiles have a vital ministry to Israel. The same Gentiles provoke Israel to jealousy, because of their spiritual blessings in our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Israel is bankrupt spiritually. Today, Israel is fallen down spiritually. Today, Israel is cast away from God. But there is a future for Israel. when Jesus comes again, the nation Israel will rise again. One day, they will be accepted, received again. This is called from Paul in verse 7. In verse 7, foolish. This called the word foolish. And in verse 15, acceptance. Yes. God wanted rule over Israel. In their history, God wanted the rule over Israel. Then they did not allow God to rule over them. So God will overrule them. How was God's plan? This is God's plan for them. So third proof for their future restoration is Gentile, he said. Okay. Fourth proof. Let's go to the fourth proof. From verse 16 to 24. Can you imagine what is fourth proof? Today's happy a little equal. Hard food, not so simple, hard food. We need to chew. But if we understand today's message, we will be very, very helpful. Hard food. Fourth proof is patriarchs. Founder of the nation of Israel. Okay, let us have a video. First group, Paul. Second group, Elijah. Third group, Gentiles. Fourth group, Patriarchs. Actually, from looking to the future, let's Paul look to the past to show Israel's spiritual heritage. From the beginning, Israel was a very special people in the eyes of God, set apart by God for special purpose, for world mission. And Paul used two illustrations to prove his argument that God was not finished with Israel. First part of D-O-U-G-H. Dog. Lump of dog. You know? In Korean. Anju. Verse 16, first part. So to understand clearly, we must be familiar with the background story in the Old Testament. The reference is in Numbers chapter 15 and in Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 16, first part says, share it together slowly, carefully. If the parts of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. Suppose. Share it one more time, up to here. If the parts of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. The reference I mentioned already, but let me say it one more time. The reference here is Numbers, in the Old Testament book, Numbers chapter 15 and Leviticus chapter 23. The background story. Then the first part of food had to be offered up to God as a symbol that the whole lot belonged to God. You understand? Then the same idea is involved also in the feast of the first fruits. During the time of the feast of the first fruits, the priest offered a sheep, first harvest, sheep, S-H-E-A-F, in Korean, han. Sheep. The priest offered first sheep to God as a symbol, as a token that the whole harvest belongs to God. Whole harvest is from God. By God's help, by God's mercy, by God's grace. So the basic idea is that if God receives the part, God sanctifies the whole of God. Then God received the founder of the nation of Israel, Abraham. And in doing so, God set apart his children as holy. Still later, God received the other patriarchs, such as Isaac and Jacob, in spite of their sins, failures, and weaknesses. This means God will accept the rest of the whole lot, that is the nation of Israel. Another scenario illustration is the olive shoot. Olive tree. So, in applying this to the history of the nation, because God received the first fruits of the nation, God received the rest of the law, that is the nation of Israel. Then how about in our application, in Christian lifestyle. Leviticus, also Numbers, yes, in our lifestyle, same, in Christian lifestyle. Yes, we offer tithes. By offering tithes, we confess, we recognize my whole income, my whole material, my whole money belong to God and confess, I'm not lord of money. I'm not slave of money, but I'm steward of all materials belonging to me, belong to you. So we can say just offering tithes is a starting point, beginning point for true Christian lifestyle. Spiritually, symbolically, relationally, critically, consciously, offering tithes is just a beginning point, starting point for Christian lifestyle. This is the meaning of verse 16. If the path of the Lord offered as the first fruit is holy, then the whole that is holy. And another illustration is the olive tree. This is the olive tree. According to Old Testament Jeremiah, such as the book Jeremiah, and Hosea, also olive tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel. Okay, let us read together one more time. Very difficult, but if you understand, the meaning is very simple, very simple. Shall we read from verse 17? From verse 17, very long. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoots have been planted in, among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Do not boast of false branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say that branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. You will not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you people. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sons of God, sons of those who fail, but kindness in you, providing that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if you do not persist in unbelief, they will be granted in, for God is able to grant them. After all, if you were cut out of the olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to the nature of that is into cultivated olive tree, how much more that the world is the natural branches be planted into the olive tree. To understand this passage clearly, keywords, there are some keywords. First, olive tree, and root, and grafting in, G-R-A-F-T, graft. What is the meaning of grafting in, graft.
I guess I could write it. I have to change. No, I have to change the setting. Right.
One more. One of those very important keywords to understand. Grafting. First, please keep in mind that Paul is not discussing the relationship of individual believers to God, but Paul is discussing the place of Israel in the plan of God for their future. So according to Old Testament, such as Jeremiah and Hosea, olive tree is a symbol of the nation Israel. And if olive tree is a symbol of Israel, what is the symbol of root? Root. Yes, according to this passage, the root of the tree supports the tree. Root. Foundation. Ground. Support of the whole tree. Root. The root is symbol of patriarchs who founded the nation Israel. And God made his covenants with patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God never denied them or changed them. Thus it is God's promise to Abraham that sustains the nation Israel even today. Then today, many of the Jewish people did not believe the truth. Even today, many Jewish people do not believe. Still today, they are rejecting the message of the gospel. And they are pictured as branches broken off the tree. Then amazing thing happened again. Other branches were grafted in the tree and shared the life of the tree. These other branches are Gentiles. You know? But there is one same thing. Verse 24. Paul described this breaking in as contrary to nature. You see, in verse 24, at all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, but like this is contrary to nature. This is opposite from natural principle in this world. Usually from natural principle, cultivated branch must be grafted in the wild tree so that they may share the tree's life without producing their full fruit. But in this case, wild branch grafted into a good tree. That is why Paul describes this case as contrary to nature. Do you know why? Because salvation is from the Jews. You know, in the conversation with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, Jesus says, "You, Gentiles, you worship what you do not know, but we do know, because salvation is from the Jews." Yes, still today, no matter how far away Israel may stray from the truth of God, the truth is the roots are still good. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's why Bible says, God is the God of Abraham. Yes, today, not only Old Testament, New Testament, even today, God is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. This means even still today, God will keep his covenants to his patriarchs. This means one day, this tree, olive tree, will flourish again. Next Sunday will be the fifth fruit. But at this moment, some of us may ask a question like this. So what to me, to us today? Why is the story of Israel important to me? What is the story of Israel to me? Why should we study the story of Israel? Israel is their story, not our story. Then why? Even through three chapters, you know, Romans is one of the most important books in the New Testament. The biggest letters among Paul's letters. Among Paul's 13 epistles, Romans is number one. Then, in this book, this story of Israel takes how many chapters? Three chapters. Why? How is so important the story of Israel to us? As a lesson, as an obligation in our life, let me say at least four things. Why the story of this year is so important to me today. Number one, physical, humanly speaking, our Lord Jesus Christ came as a Jew. And salvation is from the Jews. Also, the story of the Bible, background of the Bible, not only Old Testament, even New Testament is Israel. The story of background of the Bible is Israel. Yes, as we know their past story, present story, and we are studying their future story. They, in their past, in their present, in their future, they were elected by God's grace. Is it true? They were elected by God's grace, God's mercy. Not because of their faithfulness, not because of their merits, not because of their good works. Then today, they are rejected because of their unfaithfulness, faithlessness, questionings, problems. If their rejection because of their faithlessness lasts forever, because our salvation is not safe. Very, very unstable. Why? Because this means our salvation depends on our faithfulness, our works, our merits. Not on God's mercy, not on God's grace, God's compassion. But we can say, regardless of our situation, our condition, once salvation is very, very safe and eternal. Why? Because our salvation is because of God's grace, not because of our merits. So through the study of Israel, we must be very, very humble and thankful to God. Also, we must be assured for our salvation. Because our salvation is because of God's covenant, God's promise, God's grace. Not because of what we are doing. This is first lesson we must know through the study of Israel's history. Second, number two, we must know that we are obligated to them. We are debtors of the gospel. Just say to yourself, I'm a debtor of the gospel. This is a mystery, no? Gospel came to us. Gospel came to us. The message of the gospel came to us. Because of what? Through what? Because of their rejection. Because of their rejection, gospel came to us. So we are enjoying the blessing of the gospel today. Then, in the return of day, this gospel we are enjoying today must go back to Israel through us, through our rejection. No, through our preaching. This is mystery. Let me repeat this one more time. Because of Israel's rejection of the gospel, that gospel they rejected came to us. So we are enjoying the blessing merits of that gospel. And then this gospel must go to Israel again through our preaching, not through our rejection. This is God's plan. This plan is very mysterious. Okay, number three. God's covenant. God's covenant given to Abraham is still available, still alive. That's why we call Abraham is our faith father. We are children of Abraham. Did you hear that? What does this mean? The first covenant of God given to Abraham is found in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. Yes, his covenant given to Abraham is I will make you into a great nation. I bless you. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing. I bless those who bless you. But I curse those who curse you. All families on this earth will be blessed through you. God says several times, I will. Here is this God's will power, God's strong resolution. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And finally, all nations on this earth will be blessed. In this will be saved through you. This covenant given to Abraham is still available, not only spiritually, but also physically. We must remember. Are you against this will? Please remember, this covenant, this promise given to Abraham 4,000 years ago is still available, not only spiritually, but also physically. This covenant is being fulfilled through us spiritually. Also, in secular history, in world history, this covenant fulfilled already physically, literally. For example, yes, in through history of the world history, no nations against Israel remain. For example, Assyria, yes, at the time, Assyria, the most powerful country. Assyria was very cruel to Israel. Assyria defeated, conquered small Israel in BC 751 or 2. And how about today? Assyria? No more. Israel is dead. How about Babylon? Also, Babylon was the most powerful country at the time. Babylon defeated, conquered small Israel. Weak Israel. But today, Babylon, no more. But Israel is there. Also, small countries against Israel, such as Amalek, Amnon, Moab, Edom. Nobody knows today. Today, nobody knows where are their children. Their name is gone. So their name is Israel. Anybody, everybody knows the name Israel, even non-Christian, non-believers, all knows Israel. This is a fulfilled physical and spiritual this covenant. All nations, all families on this earth will be blessed through you, yes, through us, who believe in Jesus Christ. This promise, this covenant is being fulfilled. Until Jesus comes home. Number four, last, this is also the most important. God's final project, God's final plan is to make one. No more Jews, no more Gentiles, no more Korean, no more American, no more Philippine, only one in Christ, in Christ. This is God's final project. Through church, the body of Christ. At this moment, I was reading with you Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 11 to 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. We have Bible. We have Ephesians in your Bible.
Yes.
Okay. From verse 11. Let us read together, very carefully, softly. Ready to go. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. Who are they? Jews, Israel. That dwell in the body of the hands of men. Verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and calling us to the conference of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. 30. But And now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought here through the blood of Christ. 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two of us. He has made the two of us, but the two, Jews and Gentiles. He has made Jews and Gentiles one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of Assyria. The barrier dividing between Jews and Gentiles. 15. By abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself the new one man out of the two, Jews and Gentiles, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them, Jews and Gentiles, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, also Gentiles and Jews. Okay, verse 18, last verse. For through him, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Father by one Spirit. In our soul, in our vocation, yes, outside Jesus Christ, we are very, very different. We are different in race, nationality, language, culture, taste, hobby, lifestyle. But in Christ, we are one. Brothers and sisters, you know, if we are in Christ, we are members of one eternal family. Do you believe this? That's my conclusion. Galatians 3:28 says, this is conclusion. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor freeman, even neither male nor female. No division of human beings. We are all one in Jesus Christ. It is from the eyes of God. In the eyes of God, there are only two divisions, two kinds of men. Do you know this division? Those in Christ, those outside Christ. Which side are they? Those in Christ, those outside Christ. The same, the Lord. So, God's Jesus message today, if you are outside Jesus Christ, if you are outside Jesus Christ, you must come to Jesus Christ to be saved. And if you are inside Jesus Christ, you must go to the Lord and say to them, come to Jesus Christ to be saved. This is Jesus' invitation toward all human beings in this world. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. I will give you life. I will give you salvation. I will give you peace. At this moment, let us take an individual time to pray to God. In early past in my sermon, I said, if we have joy because of my salvation, we must have sorrow for the salvation of others. If I love for my salvation, because of my salvation, we must be able to cry for the salvation of others. Let us pray yet to cry, to have pain for the salvation of others. Your brothers, sisters, your family members, your loved ones, maybe your parents, your children, your friends, your neighbors, your next doors, remember it, somebody who needs salvation, let us cry, let us pray for them, for their salvation. Let us pray for them. All of us. So merciful and gracious, compassionate. We cannot understand what you are doing, who you are, fully completely through our understanding, through our insight. Please, we welcome the Holy Spirit so that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we may understand your will, your purpose, your design, your program for future, for your future kingdom, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we know there is no Jews, no Gentiles, no free, no slave, even no man, no female in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, help us to enjoy this wonderful salvation, wonderful life, eternal life, abundant life, exciting life, meaningful life, purposeful life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, our confession is salvation is found in no one else. There is no other given to us on heaven by which we must be saved. His name is our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this wonderful faith given to us through your ministry. We call Jesus our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and God. Yes, Jesus is our God, visible God, tangible God, alive God, who is with us all the time and time as Emmanuel God. All glory back to you, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.